भद्रम हो यूयम मे नृपनंदना सौहार्दिना पृथक धर्मास तुष्टोऽहं सौहृदेन वहा। The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, My dear sons of the King, I am very much pleased by the friendly relationships amongst you. All of you are engaged in one occupation, devotional service. I am so pleased with your mutual friendship that I wish you all good fortune. Now you may ask a benediction of me. In this chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has just appeared in his beautiful form of Lord Narayan before the sons of Maharaj Prachini Barhishati Prachetas. These Prachetas were very great devotees who performed devotional service in unity with one another. Together, they engaged their mind and their senses in constantly helping one another to serve the Supreme Lord. And due to the unity of their efforts of assisting one another and serving one another in pleasing Krishna, the Supreme Lord became supremely satisfied with them and personally appeared before them. And he is not congratulating them for the austerities of eating less, nor is he congratulating them for giving up sleeping or for living very simple, exposing themselves to heat and to cold, because those austerities are not so difficult to perform. But he is congratulating them because of their friendships with one another, which is actually the greatest austerity. Because the inflictions of the body are not so difficult to overcome, but the tendencies of the false ego are very difficult to overcome. The false ego gives the misconception to the soul that it is the enjoyer, that it is separate from God. And as long as we feel we are separate from God, then we all have our own independent ideas. We all have our goals, our opinions, our aspirations in life. And this is the root cause of all dissension, of all disharmony, of all envy within this world. Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. And the only means by which we can truly be united and develop real love for each other is to have this agreement that we are all meant for the service of God. The United Nations is an effort to try to create peace in a troubled world. But it has never been successful, nor could it ever be successful, for the simple reason that everyone has their own personal interests. The United Nations does not meet to create peace in the world. Each country is thinking of creating the best possible peace situation for their own nation. And they all unite with self-centered, selfish ideas. I am an American, I am a Russian, I am an Indian, I am a Pakistani, I am Chinese, And they all have the interests of what is declared to be the illusion of I and mine. I am this body, and what is in relationship to this body is mine. Therefore, as long as by the arrangements of material nature, everything is suitable, there can be some agreement. But as soon as there is a difference of interests between two nations, no one cares for all the treaties and all of the documents that are signed. There is quarrel and there is ultimately war. So the real cure to the disease of chaos and anxiety in this world is very simple. Krishna explains in Gita, the peace formal. Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarva loka maheshwaram suhridam sarva bhutanam gyatva mam shantim richchati. To simply understand that everything is the property of Krishna, that everything is meant for the enjoyment of Krishna, and that he is the true well-wishing friend of all living beings. To have faith in that way. So Krishna consciousness, sometimes even there is quarrel amongst devotees. If the quarrel is based on the principle of how to best serve Krishna, that quarrel or disagreement is spiritual. And it will actually bring devotees together on a higher platform. But as soon as the material egoistic element enters into the situation, we may say it's for Krishna's service, but we are thinking of satisfying our own conveniences or our own prestige or ego, then we come to the material platform and there can be disunity. So there's a very simple formula to understand whether your disagreement with another devotee is on a spiritual platform or whether it is on the material platform. If it's on the spiritual platform, even though you're disagreeing, it's bringing you closer together because you're both disagreeing for the purpose of serving Krishna. You're both thinking how to best please Krishna. But if there starts to be envy and antagonism and difficulty in that way, then we can understand there must be some material element. The ego must be involved because it is taking us apart from Krishna. But what pleases Krishna so much, as explained by the Lord himself, is friendly relationships amongst devotees. But not the kind of friendly relationships of this material world. We have so many friends in this world. We have so many relatives in this world. But what pleases Krishna is when we understand that the relativity amongst us is based around our eternal spiritual nature or the truth. We are all spirit souls. We are not these bodies. That means we are not from Maharashtra or Karnataka or Bengal or Gujarat or Uttar Pradesh or Madhya Pradesh or Pakistan or America. We are not from any of these places. This is a temporary illusion. And we are not men or women. And we are not rich or poor. And we are not educated or uneducated. These are designations, upadis, anartas. What we actually are is we are all part of God. We are all united in that qualitatively every soul is individual and unique, but of the same characteristic. We are all meant to enjoy with Krishna in the spiritual world. Satchit Ananda. And therefore, our real connection to each other is like each spark, their relationship to each other is due to their relationship to the fire. Similarly, our relationship to each other spiritually is based on our relationship with Krishna. Jivera Swarupoi Krishnara Nityadas. We are all eternal servants of Krishna. And Krishna did not create just one servant. He created unlimited servants. Because the more servants, the more ecstasy. Why? Because the more spirit souls unite with one another and show love and respect for one another, the more Krishna is pleased. Because in truth, every spirit soul is part of Krishna. If you disrespect anyone, you are ultimately disrespecting Krishna, who is manifested in an infinitesimal part in every living being. So the difference between devotees and non-devotees is very simple. Devotees keep Krishna in the center of all of their activities. Devotees understand that giving pleasure to the Vaishnavas is to give pleasure to Krishna. Chaitanya Bhagavat explains, the ultimate service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is to serve his devotees. Srila Prabhupada used the example that you can give a rich man so much money, but he doesn't need it. He will say thank you. But if you somehow give something, even if it's a little something, even just a nice word to the son of the rich man will be indebted to you forever. Because his son is more dear to him than himself. Similarly, what can we do for God? God needs nothing from us. But when we please, when we serve someone he loves, then Krishna is most pleased. This is the actual secret of success in spiritual life. There is a beautiful explanation by the Lord himself that if you chant the holy names of the Lord and you worship the Lord, but then you are disrespectful and cause pain to devotees, the Lord equals that to first touching the feet of a Brahmin and offering prayers to him, then hitting him on the head with a stick. Is that worship? Because the Lord sees his devotees as his own self. If we disrespect devotees, we are beating the Lord with a stick of our harshness. And then we worship him and offer prayers to him and touch his feet. That type of worship is not pleasing to the Lord. Unity based on putting aside our selfish interests, our prestige, our egos, for the sake of pleasing the Lord through becoming the servant of the servant of the servant, is the ultimate expression of religion. And this is what is so wonderfully being explained by the Lord to the Prachetas in this verse. In fact, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came with the message of Sankirtan. Kirtan means to praise God. To praise God through singing, through speaking, through everything we do. That is Kirtan. And Samyak means together, united. To praise the Lord together amongst other devotees. That is the Yuga Dharma. Jagyai Sankirtana Priya Yajanti Hishumedasha. It is explained in this age of Kali Yuga, it is this glorifying God together in the company of devotees that is the Yuga Dharma. It is the means by which we become purified and enter into the spiritual state of consciousness. The spiritual state of consciousness can only come by the grace of Krishna. It does not come by our efforts. Our efforts, somehow or other, must please Krishna to inspire His grace, His mercy. Because this material world, conducted by the three modes of material nature, is so very powerful that no one can overcome, no one can resist the temptations of Maya. But Krishna says in Gita, Daivihe Shugunamai, Mama Maya Duratyaya, Mami Vamye Prapadyante, Maya Meta Durantite. That if you surrender to me, then by my grace, I will release you from the prison of Maya. And how to surrender to Krishna in this age of Kali Yuga? Sankirtan. By glorifying the Lord together. And today we're having a wonderful festival. It is called Pushyabhishek. This is the month of Posh, January. And it is the winter bathing ceremony of Lord Krishna. And Abhishek is generally done with so many ingredients. And at Radha Gopinath Temple, on this day, we bathe the Lord with flower petals. Why? Simply because the Lord likes to be showered with flowered petals sometimes also. Generally, Pushyabhishek is with all ingredients of ghee and yogurt and everything. But it's winter, and once a year we like to just completely decorate the Lord and offer the Lord wonderful, wonderful flowers. And the real purpose of this festival is to please the Lord by our working together in unity for His pleasure. That is why the deity appears, to give us all a common focus. When we put the deity of Krishna as the common object of our devotion, then all obstacles, pride and ego and everything else, no longer can affect us. Krishna has appeared so mercifully in the beautiful form of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath just to bring us all together to chant His names, to hear His glories, and to serve Him, to give Him pleasure. So throughout the whole day, the men, the women, everyone in their own little areas was working together, dozens and dozens of devotees, making wonderful, wonderful arrangements. All the coordinations, all the expenses, all of the endeavors were simply, let us do something wonderful for Krishna. And Krishna reveals Himself according to how we approach Him. Krishna reveals His all-attractive beauty to us to the extent we please Him by our devotional efforts. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada would use the example that two sons are massaging the father, and each one is thinking, let me become the most dear to my father. And they're massaging their side, one is on each side, very, very nicely. But the other side, they are secretly, without the other brother knowing, they are punching and pinching and scratching, biting. And each are doing the same thing to the other, but the other doesn't know that the person is doing it. Each one is thinking that I'm massaging nice and my father will like me because he will think my brother is a rascal. So through all this, who suffers? The father. He is being scratched and pinched and poked and punched and bitten. So similarly, we should know that when devotees have antagonism toward each other, that is painful to the spiritual master, and it is also painful to Krishna. So actually, do we want to serve Krishna or do we want to serve ourselves? If we want to serve ourselves, you'll get some prestige, you'll get some benefits, but you'll make no spiritual advancement. Krishna will not in any way reveal himself in a spiritual way. He reveal himself according to what you want. He'll give you some prestige. He'll give you some recognition. But what is recognition and prestige? It is temporary. You get recognition, but then the next day you get blame. That is the nature of this world. And the more you enjoy recognition, the more you will suffer when there is blame. And this is a world of dualities. We get credit for something, then we get blamed for something. We're anxious for credit, we suffer when there's pain. If you want to stop suffering when there's blame, stop taking credit. That's the only way. If you want to stop the pains of the world, it's very simple. Stop trying to enjoy the pleasures of the world. Failures will come in everyone's life on one level or another, and it's painful. And we're trying to avoid the pain of failure so much, but there's a simple process. Don't be attached to success, and there'll be no pain when there's failure. So these dualities must come, because that is the nature of the world. When we read Bhagavad Gita, we understand very clearly that this is how the world is conducted. So why should we be within this mire of illusion, creating so many karmas in our life which ultimately frustrate us and disappoint us? But at the same time, Krishna explains in Gita that no living being can cease to do work, because the soul is dynamic, it is active, it is alive, it is a person, eternally. Therefore, Krishna says, we should work for him. Jagyaratat kamanon yatra lokomam karma bandara. Taratam kanakonteya mukta sangha samachara. Work done for Krishna liberates us from all miseries. But work done for any other purpose only aggravates the infection of material bondage. And that is our choice. So we read here so nicely what pleases Krishna. When we perform the great austerity of working in unity, of becoming friends with one another for the purpose of serving him. And Srila Prabhupada explained in so many ways, this is really how this movement will spread. We have a philosophy, and it's such a profound and deep philosophy, it answers all questions. But the practical application of the philosophy is very simple. To just put aside our selfish, egoistic ambitions, our separatist ambitions, and work for the whole. Become the servant of the servant. If you are insulted, it's no problem. Create unity. That will please Krishna. If you are insulted by a devotee due to some misunderstanding, and then you attack and insult back, what is the result? That Krishna is displeased and you make no spiritual advancement. You may get some social justice. You may prove yourself to be better. But in the process, you have bound yourself by the shackles of ignorance. Therefore, devotees should be very active. They should be very much enthused to serve together. That is Sankirtan, to glorify the Lord together. And the love that develops between ourselves will be very much in relation to the love that Krishna gives us. The love that we show his devotees, Krishna will accept that as the love we show him. And at the beginning, to show love is an austerity. For love to be pure means the heart is pure. No more tendencies for material enjoyment. No more tendencies to be seen as great. To simply want to be the servant of the servant, that is pure love. No other tinge of desire within the heart. But how to come to that state? By performing the austerity of putting aside our egoistic propensities and serving together. The one voice of hundreds of devotees chanting together in kirtan is not only pleasing to Krishna, but it is the most purifying act of charity for the whole world. When we develop this mood of being friendly servants to one another, truly trying to help one another on every level, truly respecting one another on every level, and deeply being concerned with the spiritual progress of one another, that creates an atmosphere where when we come together to chant the holy names, it is exceedingly pleasing to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These beautiful festivals have been created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to bring us all together under the shade of His lotus feet. So let us not lose scope of the real importance of our spiritual lives. Let us not be distracted by the ego, which is like a serpent. It is very crooked and it can appear any time, any way, with its venomous bite. And what is that venom? That I will establish myself. A devotee wants to establish Krishna. And that is the wonderful contribution that Srila Prabhupada, our Guru Maharaj, has given to the world. He is giving the purest, highest sense of spirituality by revealing our eternal spiritual nature as the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord, and teaching us how to practically become the servant of the Lord. The greatest and most detrimental obstacle for our spiritual life is not lust or anger, but it is offending devotees. When our lust or anger is directed toward another devotee and we make an offense, that Krishna cannot tolerate. If somehow you lose control of your senses, you fall down. But if you just beg forgiveness and try again, Krishna will easily pick you up. But if you mistreat devotees, Krishna simply takes away all your spiritual intelligence. And we have seen so many times, the more you offend devotees, the more you think you're justified to offend devotees. What does that mean? That means you have lost Krishna's mercy. He's simply taken away your intelligence. If you think you're justified to give pain to a Vaishnava, that means that you have lost Krishna's mercy. He's taken away your intelligence, he's taken away your discrimination, and you really, your devotion is simply show bottle. That's all. And pleasing the devotees, that is the ultimate offering to the Supreme Lord. Because it is what attracts the Lord. In this world, we are all being attracted by the power of material energy, And the only way we can be released is by reposing that same tendency to be attracted in Krishna. And just as you cannot force the sun to rise according to your free will, the sun will rise according to its own will. Similarly, we cannot be attracted to Krishna until Krishna attracts us. It is not by your efforts only, it is by Krishna's reciprocation. So here Krishna is clearly explaining what attracts him to attract you, the all-attractive Krishna. So today we are all gathered together, and the all-attractive, beautiful personality of Godhead, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, are coming to accept our unified efforts of devotion. And this is their great mercy. Today is a festival of flowers. Krishna explains in Gita, Patram pushpam palam toyam yomi bhakta prayachchati. That what does it take to please him? Just devotion. Devotion means putting aside our egoistic ideas for pleasing Krishna. That's all. Very simple. Very simple, but very difficult. Difficult because we have conditioned ourselves to be the servants of our egoistic ways, birth after birth after birth. But Krishna is pleased only with such devotion. A little flower, a little water. It doesn't take much. Everyone has the capacity to please Krishna if they simply learn this art of devotion, devotional service. In this regard, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach us this path of devotion. Krishna spoke in Gita. He explained, Man manabhava madbhakto madhyajim nam namaskuru mam evaisyasi satyante prati jani priyoshime. Which is the culmination of all the teachings of the Vedas. To always remember Krishna. To always think of Krishna. To become his devotee, to worship him, to offer homage unto him. In this way, Krishna says, you will come to me without fail. Sarva dharman parityaja mamekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papibhyo moksha isyami masaja. Krishna says we should abandon all varieties of religion. We should surrender to him. He shall protect us from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. But Krishna, after he left this world approximately 5,000 years ago, he had given us everything we need to know. But how to do it? That was the difficulty. Krishna is so kind that not only does he teach us all knowledge through Gita, but he personally comes to exhibit through his own life how to follow the teachings of Gita. And that was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna himself playing the role of a devotee simply to teach us how to perfect our lives and always think of Krishna. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was in the role of a devotee, he was always anxious to take the remnants of the devotee's prasad. He was always anxious to take the dust from the feet of the devotees. He was always anxious to serve the devotees. By preaching, by dancing, by chanting, sometimes by washing their clothes, sometimes by carrying some load for them, sometimes by bringing them gifts. He was always engaged in doing some seva for the pleasure of his devotees. But sometimes he revealed his supreme nature as Krishna or Godhead, at which time he reveals the sublime truths. One time, there was a beautiful kirtan going on. Everyone is singing and dancing. And one devotee, his name was Suklambar Brahmachari. He happened to be at the kirtan. In fact, he would be at every kirtan the Lord would attend. Suklambar Brahmachari was a poverty-stricken beggar. Here in Bombay, there are so many beggars, and no one really cares for beggars. Suklambar Brahmachari, he would every day go to 10 houses with a little torn bag and beg. And what do people give beggars? You usually do not give a beggar the best thing in your house. You usually give the cheapest thing, if you give them anything at all. And Suklambar Brahmachari would even go to the most poor, poverty-stricken people to beg. But while he was begging, he was constantly engaged in chanting the holy names of Krishna. In this way, he was always blissful. He was actually the wealthiest man. He had a little home, which was nothing at all, really. And he would go home with all of his things he would beg, and he would make some preparation, and then he would offer it to Krishna very happily, and then he would eat it. And the whole while, he would be weeping in transcendental love for Krishna while chanting his holy name. So this was his life. So one day when Lord Chaitanya was having kirtan, Suklambar Brahmachari was dancing. And when he would dance, it was so blissful because his soul was so illuminated in ecstasy and joy. Prabhupada said, the face is the index of the mind. If someone is happy, you can see it in their face. And if someone is miserable, you can also see it in their face. So Suklambar Brahmachari, he was always weeping and laughing in great ecstasy. So Lord Chaitanya saw him dancing, and he had his little bag waving around on his around his shoulder as he was dancing. And Lord Chaitanya was, and all the devotees, they were so happy to see the blissful dance of Suklambar Brahmachari. Lord Chaitanya called, come here, come here. So Suklambar Brahmachari came. And then Lord Chaitanya began to speak. He said, birth after birth, you are a poverty-stricken beggar. Why? Because you give everything to me. Because you give everything to me, you are always in poverty. But whatever you give, I take. And it is my great satisfaction because you offer it with such devotion. Previously, when I was living in Dwarka, you came as Sudama Vipra. And at that time, I took your offerings of rice and I ate it. You remember? Rukmini stopped me by the hand. And today, I will taste the wonderful remnants of your begging again. And at that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reached his hand into the bag of Suklambar Brahmachari and began to eat handful after handful after handful. Suklambar Brahmachari was very unhappy. He said, my Lord, how can you eat? These are all broken chips of rice. They are not worthy of you. And Lord Chaitanya replied that I have never tasted such sweet and wonderful prasad. Even if someone offers me nectar, if it is not offered with humility and devotion, I will not accept it. It gives me no pleasure. But the chipped rice, the broken pieces of Suklambar Brahmachari, because of the devotion in your heart, it is like, it is more pleasing than nectar to me. As Lord Chaitanya was speaking and eating this rice, all the devotees, they just were so happy to see that he was getting the Lord's mercy. Devotees are not so concerned with getting Lord's mercy themselves. They're more concerned with helping other people get the Lord's mercy. This is the nature of a servant. And the more you are happy when other people get the Lord's mercy, the more you get the Lord's mercy. The more you try to get the Lord's mercy at the expense of others, the more the Lord will withdraw his mercy. This is intelligence. The devotees were weeping and crying and so happy to see that he has taken the prasad of Suklambar Brahmachari. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him a benediction. Then they all started having a big kirtan. They all began to dance in ecstatic love, chanting Krishna's holy name.
Krishna, 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 Krishna.
And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave Suklambar Brahmachari the benediction. Because of your wonderful bhakti, I give you the benediction that you will eternally enjoy unalloyed devotion and love for me, the ultimate wealth. Suklambar Brahmachari, nobody recognized him. Nobody saw him except a few devotees. Everyone just thought he was an ordinary beggar. But little did they know he was the wealthiest man in all of the world because he had achieved the treasure of love of God. Another time, Lord Chaitanya called Suklambar Brahmachari and said, "Today at noon, I will take prasad at your house. You cook for me." And Suklambar Brahmachari said, "But what do I have? And why do you want me to cook for you? You are the Supreme Lord. I am sinful. I am insignificant. I am lower than a worm or a crawling insect. Why do you want to come to my house? You must be playing some trick on me." And Lord Chaitanya said, "No, I am not playing a trick. I will come to your house." And Suklambar Brahmachari did not know what to do. So he approached the devotees. The devotees said that Krishna took prasad at Vidura's house. He likes to taste your prasad because you have such nice humility and devotion. If you feel some fear or shame, you cook without touching the food. So Suklambar Brahmachari went to his house with great humility, and he took his bath, and he started boiling scented water, and then he put some rice and he put some other preparation in, and he cooked it nicely. And then at noon Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, and it was offered to Krishna, and then it was offered to Lord Chaitanya. And when Lord Chaitanya began to eat, he began to praise that even Lord Brahma offers the portions of yajna to the Supreme Lord. Actually, it is explained, when Suklambar Brahmachari was cooking, he was cooking with such humility and devotion that the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi herself, glanced upon the food, even though it was very, very simple food. And when she glanced upon it, it became nectar, spiritual nectar. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to praise the glories of Suklambar Brahmachari's cooking, his bhakti. He said, "Even those who are multi-millionaires, even those who have such wealth and such great learning and so many followers and so much influence over others, I will not accept their offerings. But even a poor beggar like you, because you are offering with the humility and devotion, I take it as more valuable than the offerings of Brahma and Shiva and the gods. That is the power of devotion. After showing this mercy to Shuklambar Brahmachari, the devotees had nice harikatha. They talked about Krishna for some time, and then they decided to take rest. While Lord Chaitanya was resting, there was one devotee. Vijay Das previously was one of Lord Chaitanya's grammar students. And he was the best writer. He had the best handwriting in all of Navadvipa. He was famous as Vijaya the Penman because he wrote such beautiful script. So this was all at the simple little shack of Shuklambar Brahmachari. They were all laying on the floor together. And as they were resting, Lord Chaitanya put his hand on Vijay's body. And he woke up and saw this hand. And all of a sudden he saw that the hand looked like a beautiful, Lord Chaitanya's hand looked like a beautiful golden pillar covered with the most valuable jewels and rings. And these jewels and rings were so precious that they just started spreading light all over the universe. And then Lord Chaitanya's hand began to grow, and it was just covered with more and more and more and more of the most precious jewels and metals. And he saw his hand grow all the way to Brahma Loka. The supreme wealth of the Lord was just being manifested in the house of Shuklambar Brahmachari. So Vijay began to scream in ecstasy. And Lord Chaitanya put his hand, his other hand, over his mouth. And he told him, as long as I'm living in this world, you cannot ever tell anyone what you have seen. So he wasn't allowed to tell anyone, but at the same time, he couldn't contain the happiness in his heart. And he just started jumping and dancing and chanting and screaming, and the devotees thought he was mad. They were thinking, what has happened to Vijay? And Lord Chaitanya said, because he bathed in the Ganges, he must be experiencing ecstasy. Or maybe it's because he has darshan of Shuklambar Brahmachari's deities, that he's feeling such love. So then he went unconscious, and Lord Chaitanya touched him, and he came to consciousness. And for 7 days, he did not eat, he did not sleep, he did not drink anything. He was just dancing around Navadvip like a total madman, but he couldn't tell anyone why. And then finally, after 1 week, he came back to external consciousness by the will of the Lord. It is explained that one who hears this beautiful story of how the Lord revealed such beautiful opulence and yet was content with such simple food by his devotee in the house of Shuklambar Brahmachari, anyone who hears this submissively with faith will achieve the ultimate treasure of pure unalloyed devotional service. And it is that pure unalloyed devotion which is the only treasure, the only wealth that gives pleasure to the soul. Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta prayachchati. Whether we offer Krishna even a little water, a fruit, or a flower, if it is offered with devotion, the Lord is pleased. And he reciprocates by attracting our hearts again to his eternal, immortal, loving service. So tonight, we try to offer Krishna some flowers, and we should offer according to our capacity. If all you have is one flower, you offer that flower. If you have millions of flowers, you offer millions of flowers. Today we have thousands of flowers. So for the pleasure of the Lord and for the pleasure of all the devotees, we are offering. And to the degree we take our pleasure in seeing Radha and Krishna enjoying, to that degree we will experience transcendental ecstasy. And to the degree we can be united in deep, intimate love and friendship with each other on the basis of giving enjoyment to Radha and Krishna. And of course that on a practical level, by together executing the orders of the Lord's representatives, the spiritual masters, that is pleasure to Radha and Krishna. But the spiritual master never engages us in his own pleasure. He engages us together in giving pleasure to the Lord. So at this very time, we are going to have the great fortune of the wonderful Pushyabhishek Darshan of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. And it is my humble request to all of you to very sincerely pray to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has appeared in his with his eternal consort, to attract our hearts away from all of the sources of miseries in this world and attract our hearts again to his eternal loving service. Find pleasure in your heart by seeing Krishna being worshipped. And let us very loudly and sincerely offer the flowers of the holy name, the flowers of our devotion in the form of chanting the holy names to the Lord. Thank you very much. Sri Sri Radha Gopinath ki.